Chapter 9. Vastiva was there, wearing the circlet, trying to get him to come back to the apartment, but he knew he couldn't go, not so soon, and so he tried to get out of it. There was a ringing from somewhere, like a fire alarm, and for some reason the Luxor wouldn't start. He turned around to the passenger seat and saw Udmil Tereshova, who told him to look harder or he'd find himself hooked up to a cell drainer. But it wasn't Udmil, it was Vongela, and she had a lit shock maul in her fist. Then the ringing burst into reality, a priority scramble signal over the data veil. He thrashed around, forgetting again that he was in a strange cot, nearly falling heavily onto the hard floor. Code E, all units respond. Code E, lock ref 456908. Code E. Code E. That was the assignment for an attack on an enforcer. It shouldn't have come to him at all. It was a channel for the sanctioners, but he guessed, even in his groggy state, that he'd been deliberately put on the iris distribution. He had a sudden horror lurch, like his stomach dropping out of his torso. He dressed quickly, grabbing the Tsarina from the strongbox and jogging down to the ground car berth. He blinked a chrono reading up as he went, the middle of the night. He could only have had 3 hours' sleep. He strapped in, shunted the ref to the machine spirit, and waited for the HUD to power up. Then he was driving, going fast, sliding between the nocturnal traffic, trying to clear his head. The location soon became obvious. The major suborbital landing fields. Yorgeyina did not possess its own true void port. Varangantua's minor navy anchorage was a long way north, and he'd seen it only once. A gigantic forest of spurs and piers, buzzing with tenders and material lifters on their way to the armed platforms in orbit. That place could accommodate a line frigate, they said, possibly even a cruiser. There was constant talk of expanding it, promoting Alecto into the circuit of worlds that could service an entire battle group, but nothing ever seemed to come out of it. The slate needed would be astronomical. That still left plenty of commerce coming down from the void lanes. Varangantua's Majoris districts had their own receiving ports, where true orbital craft could touch down and unload. Those places were much less grand than the naval facility, but still huge, still sprawling, with daunting maintenance costs and landing fees. Yorgeyina relied on a halfway house solution, a cluster of receiving dishes, largely enough to take the Slovo 6 suborbital conveyors, which in turn docked with void stations placed at the very edge of the troposphere, from where the true space-going Leviathans could take over. Those dishes were old and had been heavily patched over the centuries. They rose up on a lattice of rockcrete stilts from the teeming clutch of processing stations beneath. The entire region was known as the suborbitals, despite the fact that the term truly referred to the swollen vessels that made use of the landing disks. Such places were honeypots for both legitimate trade and organized criminal work, given the volume of goods passing through in both directions. It was where Borodina had been active, though she was just one of many probators assigned to maintaining the balance. He pulled off the arterial and slid down towards the first of the great scything disks. A Slovo 6 sat on it, vent steaming, turbines winding down, its sloping flanks the height of a 12-story hab block. Its access hatches were open, floodlit from within, and mechanized haulers were bustling around it like insects. It would be on the ground for less than 2 hours if they stuck to the schedules, its cavernous innards stripped bare and replaced with outgoing transit crates, its tanks pumped full of promethium, and its flight captain grilled by the preceptors. Then it would be boosting off again, heading back into the endless rotation, the pick-up and put-down, the grind and churn of the sector's lifeblood. Zidorov kept on going under the lip of the disk, sliding into an underworld of struts and gullies and arches. The lumens never went off down here. Even in the middle of the day it was a gloomy kingdom, studded with blotches of bright red and green, rocked by the thunder of turbines kicking in, a scurrying world of transients and merchant princes. Every surface seemed to be scrawled with the icons of the trade houses. He saw the leonine head more than once, picked out on grit-blasted hoardings and metal-framed commercial plates. The lock ref transponder bleeped, and a completion rune swelled up on the virtual display. He saw flashing lumens ahead and the silhouette of sanctioner standard ground cars. From overhead, hidden from view by the landing stages, he could hear the thud, thud, thud of turbine copters holding position. Cordon beacons glimmered in the dark, sealing off the area ahead with translucent beams. He pulled up and got out of the Luxor. Sanctioners were milling around up ahead, preventing any inquisitive citizens from getting too close. Most of them recognised him, and he didn't have to flash his hollow seal to be admitted through the cordon. A brace of servo skulls hovered over the site, their lens eyes flashing. Verispex had been deployed, wheeling banks of clicking forensic auspexes over the asphalt. In closer, he saw the blood on the street, a thin spatter, then more bursts, as if someone had staggered some distance. Three Bastion Medicaid wagons stood idling, their rear doors open, their crews out and busy. As he rounded the cab of a parked Bulwark, he saw Von Geller in her dark red operational uniform, flanked by Adamir, the master sergeant of the Panthera, the tactical wing of the sanctioners, as well as a few dozen others. Whatever had taken place here looked to be over. The scene was electric, though. Everyone was furious. Von Geller saw him approach and strode out to meet him, her leather coat flapping around her calves. Adamir came with her, his tread heavy under all the flak armour he wore. He carried a squat autogun in both hands, cradling it like it was the only thing he cared much about at all, which might well have been the case. "Probator Zidorov," Von Geller called out, her voice shimmering with anger. "It should not take a code E to get you into my presence, should it?" Zidorov felt his scar twinge. I shouldn't be getting a code E at all. What happened? Von Geller cocked her head over to the Medicaid wagons. Two were occupied. One held the body of a sanctioner in body armour. It wasn't moving. The other held Borodina, who also wasn't moving. She was dressed like they all dressed when on assignment, looking much like any other scruffy denizen of the barter pens, only now she was covered in blood and hooked up to a spider's web of tubes. Three orderlies were working hard over her, pumping and stitching. Zidorov felt the sickness come back quickly.
"They were together,"
Adamir told him, his voice grating like a swarf-choked scrap grinder.
"She'd asked for protection. You know why she did that, Probator?"
"You tell me." Adamir grabbed Zidorov by his coat and slammed him into the bulwark. The master sergeant's grip was tight and his strength impressive, so it hurt, cracking his head back against a metal ridge in the vehicle's armour.
"Because some dumb shit probator blew a raid on a Vidora cell," he hissed into Zidorov's face. "That's why, you piece of crap."
"Put him down, Sergeant," said Von Geller, icily, not sounding too bothered whether he complied. Adamir held on for a little longer, looking as if he'd like to grind Zidorov a little harder into the bulwark's bodywork before letting go. Zidorov slid a bit before collecting himself. "It kicked off before a response team could get here," Von Geller said, looking at him distastefully. "Just a panicked call over the veil. No descriptions given, then the sound of gunfire. Sanctioner Rovac is dead. Probator Borodina has been placed in a coma. She might make it back to the Bastion, she might not. We found a burnt-out ground car a few miles up grid, nothing retrievable. They pulled up, unloaded and drove off, all targeted." Zidorov brushed his coat down.
"And you think it was linked to me?"
"She was monitoring the UT cell of the Vidora. She gave you the tip. We've always danced around one another. They knew she was working up here. All that was understood, and she was being careful. This was a revenge hit. A professional job."
"Plenty of professionals in the suborbitals. They're not all Vidora."
Adamir rounded on him again, and was only held back by Von Geller's outstretched gauntlet.
"Don't make this worse on yourself. If you want to find another culprit, then do it in your own time. You kick the nest."
With all due respect, Castellan, we did our job. They don't like it. We don't do what they like. We don't stall actions just in case they might get annoyed with us."
"No, and I could live with it if we got something," Von Geller said coldly. "But you kicked it for nothing. Borodina was a good enforcer. I liked her. We all liked her."
Zidorov looked over at Adamir, who was nodding in approval. Von Geller's voice was quiet and clipped. There was a wild mood in the air, and everyone at the scene seemed to have it.
You're going after them, aren't you?" he said.
"There are always consequences," she said.
You had to admire that about Von Geller. She wouldn't let a thing lie.
And you want me to be part of it?"
She smiled grimly.
"Since you enjoy this kind of thing, we find the ones who did this. Who knows? You might even get your hands on the one you were after. What was his name? Yellowsnake, I think you said."
Zidorov looked back over to the Medicaid wagon. The doors were closing, and its roof lights were strobing blue. It would be moving soon, racing back to the Medicaid bay, trying to get Borodina into a stable state. That is, if she was still alive.
I'd like that, he said with feeling.
This time, the arrangements went through more quickly. Cases were pulled, sanctioners reassigned. The bulwarks were prepped and fueled, and three of the Bastion's 9 Zhurov turbine gunships were switched from long-standing vigilance operations. It was impressive how fast things could move with the right set of motivations behind them. Von Geller had said that they'd always danced around one another. That was true. The enforcers knew a fair bit about the personnel and the main operating bases of the organized criminal cartels. Not everything, to be sure, but a lot. Most of that was never acted on due to lack of hard proof or lack of resources, but mostly to keep the all-important balance in check. In return, it was rare for a serving enforcer to be killed in the line of duty by one of the Garn-compliant operations. No one profited in a time of war. It was the psychos and the narc-heads and the gutter filth who risked pulling a weapon on a sanctioner because they didn't matter, and they had nothing worth protecting to worry about. But when the balance was broken, it had to be reset. All the intelligence held in central archives could be pulled up, and favours called in, and leave periods cancelled. The Bastion, when it wanted to, could be scary as all the hells. The raids were coordinated, and all took place before dawn. For one horrible moment, Zhidrov thought Von Geller would send him in with Draj again, but even she wasn't that sadistic. He was attached to a sanctioner squad he'd never worked with before, headed by a sergeant on a rover, and filled out with the usual soft-spoken compliment of artists and intellectuals. As he got in the bulwark's cab, she shot him a poisonous look before yanking a helmet on. "I heard this was all down to you, Probitter," she said, grabbing the wagon's control columns and kicking the engines into grounding life.
"Don't flatter me," Zhidrov said, strapping in. "You love this stuff."
Then they were driving, rumbling down the ramp, out into the weak first light, with the haze of morning rising like fog. The sanctioners in the back suited up, clicked home magazines, checked their sights, clanked their armour plates tight.
"Where are we going?" Zhidrov asked.
"Out on Spine 5, Honorova said, driving the bulwark hard. There wasn't much ground traffic yet, but one of the gunships thudded overhead, keeping low to the hab towers. The clouds of black mottled smoke from the refineries away east had just started up, turning the horizon a dirty brown where they met the retreating wall of mist. "Just a counting house, won't be long." Zhidrov sat back. He wanted to close his eyes just for a few moments, but the bulwark was already bouncing on the uneven rockcrete, its interior rattling and jerking. Maybe knocking some heads would do him good. Maybe he needed the kind of stress relief he used to get when in uniform.
"Let me know when we get there," he said,
shifting his shoulders against the rubberized chair back, trying to zone out. Honorova was right, though. It didn't take long. They swooped around a wide intersection, forcing a tracked citizen carrier to skid off its guide rails before accelerating straight for a high blockwork wall, painted dirty white and festooned with curling layers of old posters. A pair of steel gates had been lashed closed with lengths of chain, and curls of flay wire ran along the top of the security railing. Zhidrov just about had time to grab a handhold before the bulwark crashed straight into it, shearing the chains clean apart and sending the gates tumbling inwards. The wagon bounded on through, horns blaring, flood lumen suddenly blazing, crunching its way across a narrow storage yard before slamming hard into a second pair of security gates. The engine cut out, and the doors swung open. Zhidrov jumped out, pulling the Tsarina from its holster. On the other side of the cab, Honorova did the same, and was quickly joined by her sanctioners, all leaping down from the open compartment and racing through the gap bludgeoned open by the wagon. They carried assault-grade autoguns with short barrels and shoulder stocks, no silencers. They were crude things that threw bullets around like confetti at a ministerium coupling ceremony. The first flashbangs went off, hurled into the chamber beyond the gates, before they all piled in after. The sanctioners opened fire immediately, filling the interior with an echoing roar of automatic gunfire. You couldn't even hear the screams over that noise, just the hard hammer of rounds gouging rockcrete. Zhidrov didn't fire, letting Honorova's crew clear out the first room. He followed them in, unlocking his irises dampeners just in time to get half-blinded again by the confined muzzle flare. He saw a narrow space, filthy, bodies on the floor already, three exits leading inwards, sanctioners charging through them, firing all the time. He went after Honorova, who'd taken the leftmost of the inner doorways. A badly wounded figure on the floor reached out to her as she ran over him, and she kicked him hard in the face before carrying on. Zidorov glanced at him as he strode past, third circle by his look. This intelligence at least seemed to be on the money. They entered a much larger room that smelled of long-entrenched damp under a much newer stench of propellant. A high ceiling soared above them, crisscrossed with plasteel girders. The sodium lumens were all smashed and swung crazily on their cables. It was dark, though Zidorov could see enough to make out more bodies twisted across the floor, hot and damp with fresh blood. Honorova had grabbed someone by their neck and was dragging them towards him. The sound of gunfire and maul cracks rang out from the rooms beyond, telling of ongoing slaughter at a fast pace. It was all over very quickly. Zidorov never even fired. The den wasn't that big. Half a dozen rooms, a little over 30 inhabitants, now reduced to one. The outer chambers looked like general-purpose spaces, where the third circle hung out and injected coat in and toyed with their knives. A couple further in held a lot of physical slate in locked cabinets, packed up ready for onward movement. Another room had cold chambers for storage of topaz, sleeper, and other controlled substances. There wasn't very much of that. They might have made a delivery recently. The room they were currently in seemed to be the centre of it all. It had lockable desks filled with papers, appointment books, records of payment, lists of places to call on. None of it would be of much interest. Anything important wasn't written down. The sanctioners stopped firing, and the echoes died away. Two of them went back to secure the bulwark and guard the entrance. Two more rooted through the destruction they had caused, seeing if there was anything worth bagging up for the Verispex. One stomped through the adjoining door to help Honorova pull the lone survivor from his knees, strip him of his jacket and shirt, and kick his blades away. Zidorov waited until they were done before he gestured to the nearest chair. They shoved him into it, keeping one hand each on his shoulders. The man was in a bad way. He'd been clipped in the shoulder, and the wound was bleeding. He hadn't been targeted, but then again, Honorova hadn't been too careful. When he looked up, his thin face was white and disorientated. With his shirt off, Zidorov could see the hard-muscled torso. He blinked a filter, and the Vedora marks came into view. Second circle. Probably the only one who'd been placed down here. Zidorov drew up another chair and sat opposite him.
"What the hell is this?"
the Vedora said breathlessly.
"The result of stupidity," said Zidorov. "What's your name?"
"Rogal Dorn."
"Good to meet you, Rogal,"
Honorova hissed. She didn't like that.
"You going to finish this, then?"
the Vedora spat. He was recovering himself. No doubt his ears were still ringing, his shoulder throbbing, his eyes streaming, but none of the second circle were weak.
"No, I'm not going to kill you. What are you running down here?"
"See for yourself."
"Protection, some knocks, cell draining?"
The Vedora looked confused.
"What?
Illegal rejuve trade? Used coerced donors?"
No, look, you can see."
"I can't see much of anything in here. Someone blew the lights out."
He leaned closer, looking the Vedora up and down.
"But this is personal now, you understand. One of you, see, hit one of us." He smiled coldly. "Cause and effect."
The Vedora stared at him a little longer, as if wondering if that could be true, before his gaze dropped and his shoulders slumped a little.
"I don't know anything about that."
"No, I guess you don't. But we're going to squeeze you until we find someone who does."
Zidorov leaned back.
"This place is shut down now. Don't come back here. When we're done, you're free to go. I suggest you get the message back that we really don't like it when you shoot at us. Got that? You'll pass that on?"
The Vedora didn't look up again. He suddenly seemed to find the floor fascinating.
"You've made a mistake," he muttered. "It goes both ways. You squeeze us, we squeeze you."
Zidorov got up.
"Well, we'll see how well that goes for you. You get the message back now, won't you? Give us the ones who did it and things can go back to normal. We can all just get along nicely like we used to, but you tell them."
The Vedora didn't say anything else. His shoulder looked like it was getting worse. Honorova let go of him and came up to Zidorov.
"You're not taking him in?" "You heard what I said. I doubt that they'll be pulling anyone much in this morning."
But that wasn't correct. Even as the words left his mouth, his iris pulsed. Castellan directive for Probator Zidorov, came the disembodied voice of a relay operator. Recall to Bastion. We've got Yellowsnake.